said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome, everyone, to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. My name is Karen Watts, also known as Karen at petoftheday.com, and we have with us Joe Barber.
Hey, I'm here. Karen, you're coming in a little bit echoey on my end. I hope this isn't going out that way.
Okay, hopefully.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Excellent. And our first guest we have with us is Kevin Fletcher from Countryside Organics.
Hey, Kevin. Hello.
Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show, Kevin.
It's a pleasure to be on Country Joe's.
Hey, I've been wanting to have you on here because I have a medium-sized chicken farm, and I sell eggs and whatnot, and that's all I ever hear about is organic food, you know, and I try, and finally, you know, we wanted you on the show so you could explain this and the whole deal, how to get it and how much and all the particulars. So I guess start from the beginning, Kevin, you know, tell us about your company and all.
And how did you get involved with organic foods anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had originally was a farm manager on a farm that was certified organic, and the only place where I could get organic animal feed at that point in time was Countryside. And so after I left that business, I bought the company where I got my feed from.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And because that's, you know, I didn't start out as a believer in organics, but as time went by, and I learned more and more about the impact that conventional farming has on our environment, I realized that, you know, organic farming is the only way to really go.
Oh, yeah, it is. Now, what is it, something like 90-something percent of our corn's all GMO now?
And soybeans, yes. Yeah. It's even more. The soybeans are even more than that, yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
Could you explain to our listeners who are, you know, have heard organic and not organic and all bandied about, what exactly organic feed means, and organic, you know, meats, but organic feeds, because of course all plant matter is organic in the sense that it's not inorganic, but what does organic mean when we're talking about feed for animals?
Okay, well, the first thing right off is that it's grown with a non-GMO seed, and that is a genetically modified organism, means that it is not Roundup ready, or it does not have BT already instilled into it genetically.
That's right. The number one thing. That's important.
And then, secondly, it's grown without chemical fertilizers, of which, you know, a lot of that fertilizer that gets washed off to our waterways and causes a lot of phosphorus problems. Algae blooms in the ocean and things of that nature.
I was stunned to see the size of the dead zone off of the Gulf of Mississippi because of all this.
Exactly, I was about ready to say the dead zone is all due to that type of conventional farming, not even to account for the amount of topsoil that is lost each year due to conventional farming. And then also there is not, you cannot use any type of chemical insecticides, which could have a harmful effect on our bee population. The newest one of those types of pesticides, it's probably the most popular one used now, is called a neonicotinoid, which is actually a systemic insecticide that is actually planted with the seed. And as the corn, or in particularly corn, I think is most of the time, but corn or soybean grows, it actually grows with that poison in it. And so the plant is actually poisonous.
And so we want to ingest poison ourselves. Why?
Yeah. So do you grow all these crops yourself, or do you buy them from farmers?
I buy them. I buy them from farmers, yeah. I buy them from farmers. We do not grow any of our own grains.
Okay. All right. Now, whereabouts are you located, Kevin? Whereabouts is your factory, or where you put?
We are located in Waynesboro, Virginia. We are right in the Shenandoah Valley, almost right in the center of the state of Virginia.
Okay,
because so I know you're the center of the Virginia, so you're the center of the East Coast, essentially.
Mm. Pretty much, yes. Uh-huh.
Wow. Okay. Now tell us about the cost and whatnot, you know, or shipping on this, because I know everybody down here in Florida talks constantly about organic and buying organic, and And that's the whole big shift now. So fill me in on that, because I'm interested myself.
All right. Well, we can ship anywhere in the state of Florida, if that's your particular worth thinking about, for like $195. Mm-hmm. I can ship a ton of feed anywhere in Florida. And then we have a number of distributors in Florida. We have a store in Gainesville, store outside of Orlando. We have a number of stores going down the East Coast in particular. Don't have a whole lot of people on the Gulf side, per se. We have some resellers also in the Panhandle.
Okay.
So, but, and of course,
we can also ship. Interestingly enough, we do a lot of mail order chicken feed. We ship all over the country that way also.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say our show is in Colorado and Seattle and all other places too. So I know Joe is in Florida and his heart is in Florida and his chickens are in Florida, but some of us are not there.
Well, I also have some distributors in Massachusetts and
there
in
you
New
go,
Hampshire.
Karen.
So we're up and down the East Coast. We're very fortunate that we have a number of freight companies in our town here, so we get some good prices on our freight.
Okay, now what would like a small amount, say a small chicken owner with a small flock, if they wanted to buy, you know, feed from you, what would the shipping be to get it down here? Or it'd probably be easier to go have it delivered from Orlando or something, right? Or
probably, I'm gonna say for most of the state of Florida, you're probably looking at probably between $19 and $23 for shipping a single bag.
Okay. Okay. And how much is the product? And what's the weight?
It's a 50-pound bag. We do 50-pound bags, and the cost is $27.50. And then there's the ship.
Uh huh. So how much was that for 50? I didn't catch it.
Yes, $27.50 for a 50-pound bag.
$27.50. Okay.
And so if you have a backyard flock, you know, if you're having chickens in your backyard up here in Cambridge, Massachusetts, you're not going to want a ton of feed, literally.
No, you're not, no. No, that's probably, if you could try to locate a dealer near you, that would probably be the most cost effective. But if that wasn't possible, you've got a good rule of thumb if you're trying to figure out. It's about 4 ounces feed, you know, per day per chicken.
Right.
So. Oh, okay. So that's a good formula for people to know. So it's 4 ounces of food per day per chicken. So if you have a flock of three, you have a different amount you need to buy than a flock of six or a flock of eight or, like Joe, a flock of, you know, 600, 700.
Exactly.
You know, we are running out of time for this segment. Joe always hates it when I say this. Kevin, will you stick around with us?
Certainly I will, of course.
Okay.
Excellent. I know Joe has a ton more questions for you, and I bet our listeners do too. Folks, we will be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show. And Joe and I are talking to Kevin Fletcher from Countryside Organics, which is an organic feed company. Now, Kevin, when someone is shopping for organic feed, I know they should just go to your website, we'll let you list that. But how do we know that it's really organic if it says organic?
You want to look for the USDA seal. It's a little green seal that says USDA certified organic.
Okay, that sounds interesting. Now, Kevin, my feed mill where I get my feed, he buys, you know, like different things from different companies. If he wanted to order from you in bulk, he could do that, right? And
yes,
handle your seed there for resale?
Certainly. Yes. By all means, he could certainly, you know, call and I could ship directly to him.
Okay, because that's what I'm going to do.
And so is that something anybody could do, you know, no matter where they are, if they have a local feed store and they, you know, they don't need to buy a ton at a time, they can actually have their feed store owner, if it's a small person, you know, contact you. Why don't you give people your website?
Yeah. That's a good idea.
It is www.countrysideorganics.com.
Okay.
So it is organics with an S.
With an S, yes, ma'am, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, we want to make sure people get to you correctly. Now, what kinds of feed do you sell? I know you sell chicken feed.
We do all chicken feed. We do turkey feed. We do swine. We do goat, cattle, horse. Mm-hmm. We do a llama. We even at one time made a cockroach feed once.
So. That's good.
I didn't
for,
think
I guess,
cockroaches
you know, somebody
any
who was wanting, you know, they
food.
Want to feed their lizards
organic
insect, organic cockroach. So
That's good. So, Kevin, how long have you been doing this, the organic business?
I've been with the business for 6 years now, but the company has been around for, I'm going to say, probably 14 or 15 years.
Uh-huh. Okay, so. Now you've probably noticed it double and triple in the past few years because of all the GMOs, right?
Exactly, yeah. There's a greater awareness of people about what's going on out there and what they're eating and also what they're feeding their animals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, well, the impact, like I say, of what conventional agriculture has on our environment.
It's true. It's not just in soybeans and corn either. It's starting to be everything, isn't it? Isn't that so?
Exactly. Yeah. Like you cannot. There is not a like an organic or I guess a non-GMO sugar beet America anymore. We also do a horse products. I tried to find just a regular beet pulp, you know, but that is non-GMO. And you know, I could not locate it anywhere in America. I actually had to go to England.
Oh,
or something like that.
Wow, and you know, we don't even think of that. But beet pulp is very important in horse and other livestock feed, isn't it?
Exactly, it is. So it was when you see organic sugar on the shelf, that comes from a sugar cane. There is no non-GMO beet. Sugar beets in America.
Wow, that's amazing. Jeez.
Yep.
So how do you see this going here? Is it getting worse, you know, with the GMOs, do you think? Obviously.
I think that it is getting worse in some ways. I think as long as more and more people, if we try to get some sort of labeling going on. You know, there's always constant votes. There's votes, in, you know, there's a vote in California that was voted down, and I think in the state of Washington. But I think there's a couple of Northeast, I think Vermont and maybe Maine have passed a resolution that states that if it ever becomes available, that it will be required in those states. So I think as long as there's more awareness to it.
Yeah, I think a lot of the key to it is people, you know, ordinary consumers in their supermarkets, in their local markets, you know, being aware of the difference that organic feed, it's like, you know, a pig is a pig, but what it eats matters. And definitely, as Joe knows, what he feeds his chickens, the better the feed he feeds, the tastier his chickens are and the more people want them.
Oh yeah, and people demand it.
They've done some recent studies also on what GMO corn and soybeans do to like to pigs. They have a much more of a, I guess, an inflamed digestive system, and that's been, you know, they've done lots of studies on that and have shown that it actually is a very much an agitate a pig system, and we're very, very similar. Our systems are very similar to a pig's.
It's true. I was just going to say, it must inflame our systems too.
It does, yeah, exactly. And but of course, the response to that always by the, you know, the company is that, you know, the animal doesn't live that long, so it doesn't really matter, you know, how sick they may get. But it's all about feed conversion. How well does this feed convert to a larger animal? And
you know, I've always thought that a happy animal will taste better. Even if you're going to eat that animal, a happy animal is going to taste a lot better than not happy.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. So you got any future plans of new products coming out or anything?
And you're going to be doing pheasant feed, because somebody I know is thinking of raising pheasants.
Yeah, I am. But that would come under the turkey feed probably, I think.
That's what I was going to say. We do, a lot of the people who do game birds feed our turkey feed. We do a turkey starter and a turkey grower. It's the turkey starter runs at 26 protein, and the turkey grower is at 24.
So. Okay. And that roughly sells around the same price?
It's about $3 more a bag, actually.
Yep.
The turkey feed is, yeah.
All right. Okay, I'm writing this down here for my grain mill guy, you know, because he always tells me that if you see anything, let me know, because I buy a lot
and
of grain.
We're also,
from
we're, you know, we're also in a special niche in our feed. All of our feeds are soy free.
We use soy in
our feeds.
That's excellent, because, you know, knowing as a human with food allergies, I know that it really matters what goes into everything we eat, and people are being more and more, you know, conscious of what they eat and not just assuming, oh, well, you know, that was a bad whatever I ate, that you might be allergic to something that's in it. If you, every time you eat it, you get sick. That's,
yeah,
you know, that's a
good clue right there. Yes.
Yeah. And I get customers that'll specifically ask me every one of them questions when they come here to buy, you know, chickens, turkeys, or eggs. That's the way I get drilled on that constantly.
Well, that's good. You know, it's always good. And I've always said this, that there's nothing more powerful than an educated consumer, somebody who knows when they go out to the farm that they're going to ask questions and they know the answers they're looking for.
And you know, I've noticed this has doubled, tripled on me anyway, and in a very short period of time, like a year. You know, when I was first doing this.
Those of us who are in the city and can't necessarily get out to a farm, and I know a lot of our listeners are, we don't all have, you know, enough room to have 600 chickens. But, you know, we can shop at markets and demand that they get the chickens that are fed organic food. And, you know,
exactly.
The power is all ours as consumers. Where we spend our dollars makes a difference.
It's always good to be an educated consumer, that when you're at the farmer's market and you're talking to the person you're getting ready to buy, you know, your food from, you know, to know the questions that you want to ask them and know the answers that you're looking for.
Right.
So. That's right. Kevin, I want to thank you so much. And listeners, his website again is countrysideorganics.com. We've been talking to Kevin Fletcher, and we are running out of time for this segment. Folks, we'll be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers, remote trainers, have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And Joe and I are delighted to have with us a returning guest, Mr. Craig Russell of the Society for the Protection of Poultry Antiquities.
Rare chickens.
Preservation.
You know, and as we were just talking before we went on the air, it is coming up to that time of year. And when I was a child, one of the songs we always sang was Christmas is coming, the goose is getting fat. And I never knew anybody who ate goose for Christmas. So I.
Yeah. But Craig, I'm sure you know where that comes from. It's got to be an English thing, right?
Well, it was also an American thing. It's still, to some extent, a German thing. At least it was 40 years ago. But traditionally, now today, turkey has kind of taken over, and some people do ham or even a roast.
Right.
But traditionally, the goose was the Christmas bird. And one thing that has changed is that at the beginning of the 20th century, about 15% of commercial production of poultry in North America was geese. Today, it's less than one half of 1%.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I saw a goose in a supermarket.
Yeah, me either.
Locally, you might see one or two here in central Pennsylvania because we have sort of a large plain population, and some of them tend to be rather traditional. But when I was growing up, which was more than a week ago, goose was, with the country people, still very much the Christmas bird. And there are kind of two reasons why that has gone away. One is, unlike chickens and turkeys and even ducks, geese don't lend themselves to intensive commercial raising the way they do with chickens and turkeys and broiler houses and that sort of thing.
Why is that?
It's a number of things. Geese don't take crowding well. They tend to form flock and pair bonds that make it hard to keep them in huge numbers. And for another thing, geese just don't do well with crowding. So they have not made the transition. People who do raise geese, and there are still a few people who raise them mostly for Christmas, and some of them big scale, they raise them on pasture. Geese are grazing animals. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, about the mid-20th century, when geese were already in decline,
everyone got concerned about fat in their diet, and I think unreasonably so in many cases, but the goose is going to carry more fat than most other poultry. So,
and I know they're harder to process. I know that to defeather these birds, it's a nightmare. Mm-hmm. I hear that all the time. So I'm sure that comes into it. Because I won't do them here. I won't do any waterfowl because it's the oil and the feathers. It's hard to get the feathers out.
Yeah, so, they are harder to pluck.
Yeah,
that's absolutely true. But the ducks have made the transition more readily to modern commercial operations than geese have. Mm-hmm. Yet, when I was in Germany in the early 70s, a goose was still very, very prominent around Christmas time.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh. Yes, I remember I grew up, you know, out in the middle of Massachusetts in a small town. And we had a food pantry that my mother kind of bullied all the town churches into getting together and having an ecumenical food pantry. And we were delivering Christmas bundles for people, you know, needy people who needed to have a good meal. We wanted them to have a really good meal for Christmas. And we had one elderly woman, and I believe she was either German or from somewhere in Eastern Europe, that was furious at us for bringing her a turkey instead of a goose.
Wow.
Yeah, and that would be because, to her, the goose was the Christmas bird.
Wow.
And, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I was just wondering. I hadn't seen any commercially here in Florida. And when I lived in Vermont, I never saw any either. When I grew up there, I never heard of anybody eating a goose up there, and certainly not down here.
Well, interestingly enough, here in central Pennsylvania, we still have a sort of quasi-German holiday in the fall called Goose Day, when in Germany they used to begin to crop the geese, and there are still people, although they're definitely in a minority and much less than they were when I was, say, 10 years old instead of 64, there are still people here who want geese, and there are mostly Mennonites and Amish who still raise flocks, and even they, when I was a teenager here in Snyder County, where I now live, the population is principally German, a lot of plain people, and every farm in the county had Pomeranian geese, which are one of the old German farm breeds.
I was just going to ask you what breed of geese they prefer.
And as far as I know, there's only one farm in the county that has Pomeranians today. And
now, what makes a geese a Pomeranian? What do those look like as opposed to the big white geese, the Chinese geese that we normally see?
Well, the big white geese are mostly Emdens, or now some white Africans. The Chinese are a small white goose, or they're also brown Chinese. The Emdens come from Eastern Europe. They have pink bills and pink feet. They come in a variety of colors, buff, white, gray, and the ones in the APA standard are the saddlebacks, buff and gray saddleback Pomeranians. In Germany, you see a few that are blue and that sort of thing, although haven't seen them here. They're a medium-sized goose, kind of nice lines and so on, and they are the traditional German farm goose.
Huh.
The Emden, which has a German name, was actually developed in Holland and England from German geese crossed with Dutch and Italian geese.
Well, that's one of the things that I think Americans don't realize about Europe is that as someone once described it to me, you know, people think of Swedes as a separate people from English, as a separate people from French, but it really is all one mixed salad. There's a lot of cross breeding in the people and the livestock as well. You know, we are running out of time for this segment, Craig. I know you you're used to me saying this, and Joe cringes every time. Folks, we will be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, talking about not just chickens, but other poultry that we tend to think of around the holidays.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's pawsandsilk.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show, talking with Craig Russell of the SPPA. Now, we were talking about the different kinds of geese from Germany as opposed to the ones you see here in America. And I was just curious, as a person who's, you know, never raised a goose, I've been, shall we say, trained to be respectful of geese. My friend's brother had one that could snap a pencil in half with one strike of the beak. But if one was going to cook a goose, and no, he never got cooked, I don't think anybody was going to risk that. Probably thought he'd just jump right out of the oven and bite them. What's the difference is when you're cooking a goose? Do you have to cook it longer because of the high fat content?
Well, not really. You cook it about the same amount of time. Generally, geese today are cooked on a rack so that the fat drips down. And the fat is traditionally was saved and used kind of like butter. It was also used in baking pastries and that sort of thing.
Oh, yes, I've heard of pastries calling for goose fat.
Really?
Yep. Absolutely. Now, one of the things I was going to say is even many of the old-timers I knew who ate geese were very reluctant, because of the personality of the goose, to eat their own geese. They didn't mind eating their chickens or their turkeys, but they formed a bond with geese that they bought a goose from the neighbors or traded.
That's
because,
interesting.
Geese can be quite personable. And
some of them, unlike Tommy's goose.
Yeah. Even though they have a reputation for being mean, usually if they're not teased and you don't bother them when they have young, geese can be quite, well, they become like the neighbors. They'll talk to you when you go out and this sort of thing. I have a flock of a lot of Pomeranians and cotton patch geese and so on. Another old, although from England, not Germany, another old variety long kept in America. And when I go out in the morning, they will call to me. Mm. Even if they have food, it's sort of like, hello there.
Wow.
You know, there's an actual sewage treatment plant not far off of one of the exits of the Mass Turnpike. It's a new exit, so Joe, you may never have driven it. We have an exit in Millbury now. And they decided to get a flock of sheep so that they didn't have to mow the grass between the big pools at the sewage treatment plant. And the sheep were getting attacked by local dogs and stray dogs. So they got geese, and the geese are big enough that they protect the sheep, and all the local dogs are afraid of them.
Ah. Wow.
And the geese will also graze. They will help the sheep do their job.
That's right, and they're so pretty. People will stop and look at them and take their picture, but, they're the dogs know to stay quite well away because those geese can move fast when they want to.
Well, I got one goose story for you both, and I got a goose here, a white Chinese named Gary that was given to me, even though I reluctantly didn't want him, and he's a pain. All he does is honk all day, honk, 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 until you want to choke him, and he's ugly. I've been bitten twice. And I try to make friends with him, and now I just gave up on that idea. But, I mean, he just constantly just honks all day.
Well, Chinese are some of the most vocal of the geese, and part of their ancestry is the wild swan goose, which is very vocal. But part of the reason he's probably so talkative, Joe, is you've got Gary by himself.
Yes.
If you had Gail with Gary, they would talk a little quieter and not so much because they are social and like company.
I've got him in with some chickens, but he doesn't like them. And I figured that, and I thought, rather than get another goose and take the chance, I'm going to try to find Gary a home. That's because this is just not a goose farm.
And Gary's just, now we know that every time he's honking at you, he's saying, come on, get me a wife. Come on, get on it. Get on it, Joe.
Oh, God, he's just...
probably pretty close to true. One of the things a little different and not directly tied to Christmas, but Christmas is a time when we think of giving gifts and this sort of thing. To cover how the society has changed, we've gone from 15% of our poultry were geese to now less than one half of 1% geese. But traditionally, in the farming areas and this sort of thing, one of the common wedding presents, not so much a Christmas present, was that when a couple got married and were going to go to housekeeping, often from their parents or their grandparents, they would receive a flock of chickens. And chickens and geese and ducks, turkeys, they used to be in the family for generations. Today, there are a few people who keep them that way, but most people, they get their chickens from a hatchery, their incubator hatched, and they have them mailed to them or they pick them up at a hatchery. And maybe they don't breed any of their own at all, but people used to breed their own, and certain ethnic groups and certain families had certain types of chickens, and they would pass them on to friends and family members often when they married. Back
now,
in the 70s.
Is that how some of these breeds that the SPPA protects, is that how some of them endured? Was through families keeping them?
I obtained light gray Dorkings, which I couldn't find in England in the early 70s, in the mid-70s, from Illinois. And the family they came from had gone to Illinois with those chickens, or chickens of that breed, before the Civil War. And in 1976, for the first time, There was no one in the family that wanted either the chickens or the farm. And when the husband died, the wife contacted a friend of hers, who was a friend of mine, Reverend Tom Cleesworth, because she wanted to make sure the chickens endured. And Tom called me, and I said, well, Tom, you raise some of them, and I'll get them from you at Columbus in the future. And he said, no, no. Then I was young, and he was old. He said, you're young, I'm old. Come and get them. And I did that, and have those today.
Wow.
Similarly, when I started to work for the state, I was working the water supply program in Huntington County for 2 years until I moved to Center County and finally came home. I met a family who, they were both retired, but they were still farming. I went to test their water because they were raising pigs, and they wanted to make sure their water was fine for their pigs. It had always been fine for them. And they had Dominiques, which they had received, I think at the time, she was in her late 60s, he was in his early 70s, and they had received them from her grandparents the day they married.
Wow.
Now, see, and this is one of those traditions that has been instrumental in keeping these breeds alive. You know, we are running out of time for this segment. Craig, will you stick with us for one more?
I will.
Okay.
Excellent, folks. We'll be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And, you know, before I forget, before we get to the end of the show, I want to tell all our listeners, if you have a question for Joe or any of our guests, the website is allpaws, P-A-W-S, pettalk.com, and there's a form right there on the homepage. And, of course, if you go to countryjoeschickenshow.com, you can listen to back episodes of the show, or you could be listening to our show as we record it right now on the air.
And we're on iTunes now.
Right? And we're on iTunes now, too, and we'll get that information out to you all. So we still have with us Craig Russell, and we were talking about different of the old breeds that you've found being passed along in families.
Mm-hmm. Right. Actually, that was true of geese and ducks. My grandfather on my mother's side gave me ducklings for my fourth birthday. And I still have those ducks today. Not those ducks, but
right.
ducks of that flock.
Isn't
and,
that amazing?
He had gotten them from his parents.
Wow. So these are actually passed down generation to generation. I never knew that either.
That was traditional. There's not much of that happening today, although here and there you find a little. And it was happening with the old breeds. I mean, Games, Dorkings, Dominiques, they were the country people's fowl even long after commercial chickens like Rocks and Reds had become common. And it was, Muscovy ducks, some of the European ducks, geese, turkeys, and the old breeds of chickens that this was common with. But my grandmother, also on my mother's side, she used to talk about the chickens their neighbors had when she was little. And they were mostly Dorkings and Dominiques.
Huh.
Grandma liked Wyandottes and Leghorns, and she had a flock of chickens that she kept just to raise young from, which had quite a bit of game blood in them. But they were her mother's. She used chickens to reproduce her poultry rather than incubators. And that was also common, well, certainly 100 years ago, but it was still common in some of the rural communities 50 or 60 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's not so much anymore. Everybody's doing it with incubators. I know
much.
I am.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, incubators, they do cost money. So if you're very poor, you're not going to get one. But incubators are easier to control than actual hens sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't really agree with that. The nice thing, and when I was young, I did all my hatching with hens, and I'm starting to go back that way as I get old. You don't have to worry about the power going out with a hen. And if you have a good hen from a selected type, Silkies, Dorkings, Games are some of the very good ones. Dominiques used to be, but most of the Dominiques around today derive from a 1920s attempt to turn them into a thoroughly modern fowl. So they're not going to have the levels of broodiness that Dominiques used to have, and they wouldn't compete with Dorkings or Games or Silkies. But a good hen from a selected strain, you can count on. And I used to set them, 3 to 6 at a time, and then I would combine and reset some of them. There were, in the early 20th century and before that, people who raised hundreds or even thousands of birds a year with broody hens.
Wow. Is there a recommended broody hen that does the best job?
Well, that's what I was mentioning, some of the so-called mother breeds.
Yeah.
Silkies are pretty much feathered incubators.
Uh-huh.
Games and Dorkings have high levels and are good mothers, but it's hard to beat a silky for the desire to set and the tenacity to keep setting.
Wow.
And
you could
introduce eggs from another chicken entirely into a silky's nest, and she'll incubate them for you?
Oh, absolutely. You can get her to incubate pheasants or guinea fowl. I've even seen people hatch goose eggs, which is about 1 to a silky, with silkies. But under Dorkings, I've hatched maybe 6 geese. I used to do all my hatching with broody hens. I even had a broody strain of Leghorns, which I sort of developed myself. But I did all my hatching with them, and I was raising several dozen kinds of chickens at the time, plus many types of ducks and guineas and so on.
I noticed my golden buffs out here, and I've got, hundreds. They don't seem to be broody at all. I mean, you'll get one every now and then that'll sit in a nest.
Yeah, almost not. But another thing, Joe, about broodiness is that today, where Grandma maintained her flock to promote broodiness, today the way we promote or we keep our chickens is to inhibit broodiness.
Right.
If you wanted to do your hatching with broodies, you probably would not use your sex links, although you could start a strain from them just by collecting those that went broody and breeding them to a rooster from a broody strain. But the fact is, we keep gathering the eggs where grandma would have nests of nest eggs, which are fake eggs,
right,
so that the hens that wanted to get broody would have a clutch to go broody on. And a hen that goes broody out of a laying flock, she's really desperate to go broody. Most of them, they don't get to develop a clutch, so they never go broody, even though there might be 3, 4, 5% of them that would like to.
Mm-hmm.
Where with a traditional broody strain like Games or Silkies, they'll go 100% broody if you set up the situation where it's easy for them to go broody.
Ah.
And, you know, we had a pet of the day a couple weeks ago that was a hen that so liked going broody that even when she was past her laying stage, her person, remember we had her on the show, Joe, Christine Heinrichs,
yes,
and she had the hen hatch out some turkey eggs, and it was very upsetting to the turkeys when they would try to hide underneath mom's wing when they were bigger than mom was.
Yeah. Isn't that, that's something. Yeah, I remember that. You know, and like I say, I've got two or three out of maybe 300 hens out there that'll peck you when you try to take the eggs out of the nest. And they're the same three that just sitting there all the time. You know, and I that's what I thought. I thought, wow, you know, if I ever tried that, I'd grab one of them.
Yeah.
But I
get yourself some nest eggs and see if they stay on them 24/7. And if they do, you can give them fertile eggs and they'll be mothers.
Now, how many fertile eggs can each hen handle?
Well, you've got to go a little by the size of the egg. But traditionally, and in Florida, you could do a few more maybe because you're a little warmer. But traditionally, in the early spring when it's cool, maybe 12 eggs, later maybe 15. But if you were setting guinea eggs or bantam eggs, you could give more to a large fowl. If you were setting duck or goose eggs, you would give proportionately less.
Yeah.
Just give them enough eggs that they can cover them comfortably.
Okay, and now should
know,
I move them out of the... a quick
you know,
can,
yeah, Joe, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you, you're going to hate me, but we are running out of time for this week.
Oh.
Well, thank you for having me, folks.
We love having you.
Love having you. And what our listeners don't know is that, that Joe and Craig could spend 3 hours talking, but our engineer has other things to do with his life. And maybe you all do, too. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening on this week's Country Joe's Chicken Show. And Joe, will you say it with me?
And Craig, too. Will
that's right. May the flock be with you.
May the flock be with you.